It is April 21st, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. Hello, I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from today's John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. What started as a tradition when I accepted Jeremy Grant's challenge to wear a kilt and raise money for Futures for Kids at the FIA Gala has added a colorful endurance element this year as ABN AMRO Clearing Europe CEO Robert Bouge is cycling amid the tulips from Amsterdam to London, be kilted and be clogged to raise money for Futures for Kids. Please join me in supporting Robert by clicking on this link in today's newsletter. Actually, Robert was not the first to add an endurance element to the kilt challenge. I ran around the world, virtually. You can see it with a link in today's newsletter. There are several more stories from tech and cybersecurity publications about the 3CX incident involving an Xtrader download. The stories include one from lateshackingnews.com titled 3CX Cyber Attack. It was the aftermath of another supply chain attack. There is also a story from Wired. The huge C3X breach was actually two linked supply chain attacks. And another from CNN titled, North Korean Hackers Breach Software Firm in Significant Cyber Attack. A site called darkreading.com chipped in with a story titled, 3CX Supply Chain Attack Tied to Financial Trading App Breach. And lastly, a story from TechCrunch titled, 3CX's Supply Chain Attack Was Caused by Another Supply Chain Attack. Catton has joined FIA Tech's DataBank Network as a law firm partner. Catton said its regulatory approvals analysis are to be incorporated in DataBank Foreign Security Futures Services. The law firm of Jones Day has a commentary on JDSuper.com titled, CFTC Goes Beyond the Law to Pursue Non-Existent Markets, quote-unquote. Bloomberg columnist John Author's latest piece has a Simon & Garfunkel-inspired headline titled, Bridge Over Oil's Troubled Waters is Hard to Find. The subheadline is, A lack of enthusiasm to take oil higher adds to evidence of an economic slowdown and an update on global liquidity. Another Bloomberg column, this one from Aaron Brown, suggests dreams of replacing humans in finance may come true, and that, quote, we are a long way from AI taking over Wall Street, but two credible studies suggest there's no reason to think it can't, unquote. I can't wait for the Cloud Computer of the Year award for the best trading performance. If the U.S. Congress ever needed a reason to ban TikTok in the U.S., a story from Bloomberg gives a powerful reason. Bloomberg reports that TikTok's algorithm keeps pushing suicide to vulnerable kids. SGX Group won the Best FX Exchange and Best FX Clearinghouse Awards at the 6th Annual FX Markets Asia Awards, recognizing the best in class across the FX industry in the Asia-Pacific region. Yesterday, OCC's retiring CEO John P. Davidson and retiring COO Scott Warren rang the closing bell at Cboe in honor of their retirement. The Nodal Exchange had record volume in main Class 2 REC futures of 1,150 lots equal to 115,000 megawatts of renewable power, topping the previous record of 1,000 set on February 24th, 2022. main Class 2 RECs, which are only listed on Nodal Exchange, are generated from a variety of renewable sources such as fuel cells, tidal power, solar, wind, geothermal, hydroelectric, biomass generators, and municipal solid waste facilities, as well as designated efficient cogeneration facilities, according to the Maine Public Utilities Commission. Hat tip to Incubex. Monday, after we published JLN, I head south by automobile to Nashville. My wife Cheryl is one of the few spouses on the list for OIC that I've seen. This is her second OIC. She is still upset she did not get to go to Puerto Rico, the one that was canceled due to the pandemic. This will be my son Robert's second OIC and Alex Teng's first and most likely only OIC. He is graduating from the University of Illinois at Chicago in May and has already accepted a job with Tesla. He heads in June to California for some training and then to Austin, Texas for this new job. We still have plenty of slots available for interviews if anyone is interested. You know how to contact me. After the conference, Cheryl and I are headed to Ohio for the weekend to see friends we have not seen in 30 years. The wife of the couple was one of Cheryl's bridesmaids at our wedding and later went into the Christian ministry. I was a key player in her and her husband becoming a couple when she served as a youth minister at the Glenview Community Church in Glenview, Illinois. She is retiring from parish ministry in June, and we want to hear her preach before she retires. Her mom was a minister too, and even had a church in the building at Purdue where the campus ministry was that I served in during my college years. Business Insider hosts a panel discussion on sustainable style and how circular fashion is changing the fashion industry in a virtual event on YouTube. The event is part of For a Better Future, Bridging Culture, Business, and Climate, a series showcasing the concepts of empowerment and circularity and how they inspire climate action in the world of business and the larger culture. Check out the Sustainable Style segment with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have another video from our FIA Boca coverage. Swan Yen explains StoneX Group history to John Lothian News and talks about how the firm is preparing for the next generation. Swan Yen, Chief Operating Officer of StoneX Group, talked with John Lothian News at the FIA International Futures Conference in Boca Raton, Florida, about the company's history, its recent acquisition of Gain Capital, and what's in the future. Watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a press release from FIA Connect. Robert's Kilt Challenge! A Dutchman is cycling his way from Amsterdam to London, bekilted and beclogged, all to raise funds for Futures for Kids. Robert Bouge, CEO Europe for ABN AMRO Clearing, is taking on the Kilt Challenge in 2023. Donate now and support his trek from the land of windmills and tulips to the home of Harry Potter and tea. My comment: Robert takes the challenge to a whole new level, and he deserves your support, as do the kids supported by Futures for Kids. Here's a story from the Financial Times. The headline: The India Shack, opening the digital marketplace to the masses. New Delhi has pioneered a new approach to online infrastructure in its drive to connect 1.4 billion, but there are privacy and data protection concerns. A decade ago, Tej Pal signed up for India's Aadhaar Biometric Identity Scheme, acquiring his first national ID card. A few years later, the 44-year-old, who sells fruit near Delhi, used it to open his first bank account. Last year, he took a loan to buy his first smartphone to sign up for the United Payments Interface, UPI, India's digital money system. Now, Pal, who grew up in northern Indian village without banks or landlines takes payments for bananas or mangoes directly into his bank account via apps such as Google Pay or Walmart-owned PhonePe. My comment. India, meet Gary Jones and Nova Fori. In fact, watch the video we shot with Gary at FIA Boca, where he talks about Nova Fori and its work to digitize markets. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. AI is coming for wealth management. Here's what that means. Experts weigh in on how artificial intelligence will change the money business. Artificial intelligence is making remarkable progress in a wide array of tasks, as demonstrated by the rollout of OpenAI's GPT-4 and Alphabet Inc.'s Bard. We asked experts how this technology will affect wealth management. Their responses are edited for length and clarity. My comment, you would think a business that is mostly numbers would be easy for AI to dominate. That is the concern. We will find out soon enough, it sounds like. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Tied for the most read story Thursday were Quartz's Taylor Swift didn't fall for FTX because she asked a simple question, and Mandiant's 3CX software supply chain compromise initiated by a prior software supply compromise, suspected North Korean actor responsible. Second was CEO celebrates worker who sold family dog after he demanded they return to office from Vice. Third was another Taylor Swift story. Taylor Swift did her homework on FTX, dodged a bullet, says lawyer suing Tom Brady, Shaq, from the block. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from Bloomberg. The headline is, how a brazen plot to rig oil auctions cost Venezuela billions. David Boies had turned 76 and was contemplating retirement when he received a call from an old friend, an investor named Bill Duker, about a potentially lucrative opportunity. Duker had recently agreed to finance an audacious lawsuit, and he wanted Boies, perhaps the highest profile attorney in the U.S., to join. Here's another one. This is a story from Reuters. LME appoints Williamson as interim board chairman. The London Metal Exchange, LME, has appointed John Williamson, currently its non-executive director, as interim board chairman starting on April 28th, the world's oldest exchange and largest market for industrial metals, said on Friday. Williamson will replace Gay Huey Evans, who steps down at the end of April, as the LME, owned by Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing, is grappling with the consequences of its decision to suspend chaotic nickel trading in March 2022. And then here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Credit Suisse investors challenge Switzerland's $17 billion write-down. A group of creditors have filed legal action against the country's financial regulator, arguing it violated Swiss law when it wrote down around $17 billion of bank bonds. Credit Suisse AG bondholders have launched a legal challenge in Switzerland against regulators' decision to write down $17 billion in securities as part of UBS Group AG's rescue of the troubled bank last month. Bondholders holding about 4.5 billion Swiss francs, 5 billion U.S. dollars, of Credit Suisse canceled debt want the decision to write down their bonds revoked or amended, according to an outline of their appeal made in a Swiss administrative court and reviewed by the Wall Street Journal. The bondholders are alleging that the total write-down was disproportionately punitive to them and violated their property rights, according to the summary of the legal filing. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, why not? You can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.